And our next speaker will be Faith Tucker Stoltz, speaking on cosmology and contact in high school classroom.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me? Great. All right, my name is Faith Tucker Stoltz. I teach high school physics and astronomy in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I want to tell you a little bit about how I address science and faith issues in my classroom. I teach at a Christian school, and it's important to know that I grew up going to all Christian schools as a student myself in a Christian home, and had an experience that I imagine many people at ASA had of being told not deeply scientifically what evolutionary theory was, but simply that it was anti-Christian and needed to be guarded against. And when I went to college to study astronomy at a secular university, found that this was somewhat problematic, both from a scientific perspective and a faith perspective. And ever since then, as I found myself in science education professionally, it's been really important to me to find ways to address this topic in Christian schools so that we prepare our Christian students to go out into the world, and whether they study science or not, to be scientifically literate and to be intellectually prepared to deal with the relationship between science and faith in their studies. And so I wanted to share with you a little bit about how I do this in my science, or my physics and astronomy classes, and hopefully this will be inspiring to you about some things that you can take back to your own classrooms if you're a teacher, or just food for thought. So a little bit about my school. I teach at a large interdenominational Christian high school in the San Francisco Bay Area. We have about 1,600 students in the high school alone. We are K through 12 though. And it's a very diverse faculty. We have over 100 faculty ranging from Catholic and very progressive Christian denominations to very conservative and the whole gambit in between. And within this faculty, there's a whole range of views on science and faith. A couple years ago, I surveyed the entire faculty on their views between the relationship between science and faith and their personal views on evolution, cosmology, and climate change, and we found the whole spread from very conservative young earth creationism and intelligent design and evolutionary creationism and everything in between. I'll come back to that survey in a little bit later. It's also important to know that our student body is very diverse. The school has an interesting philosophy for a Christian high school. They have about 60% of their student body comes from Christian homes, church background, Sunday school, that kind of context. But they intentionally try to have about 50% of their student body, I think it's closer to 40, that come from some sort of non-church background, whether it's a different religious view or just non-religious. So in my classroom, I have your Sunday school all-stars, and I also have kids from strongly atheistic homes and also Buddhist and Hindu and all sorts of other religious perspectives. So it's a really interesting sort of dynamic place to be. By Bay Area standards, we are fairly conservative, but as you may or may not know, the Bay Area is not exactly the conservative bastion of the U.S., and so I think my school is probably more on the progressive end of Christian high schools, I'm sure it is, by national standards. But that's just a little bit about the school itself. Now, the school roots their approach to science and faith in something that they call their interdenominational integrity statement. And the idea is that we have our statement of faith, and it's a very traditional statement of faith based on the Nicene Creed and other similar resources that lays out the fundamentals of what we believe. All faculty and staff have to sign this, and these things are actively incorporated into our curriculum. However, there's an enormous number of theological questions and practices that fall beyond that statement of faith, and those things we say fall into the category of interdenominational integrity. And what that means is that we think that it's up to individual faculty and students and their families to develop their own views on those particular topics. These are things that would be, you know, that a Methodist and a Lutheran might have some different views on. And so the teacher's role in the classroom is to give information about what different views are within the Christian community, but not to advocate for different viewpoints other than things that fall within that much more narrow statement of faith. And so science perspectives fall largely within this interdenominational category. The statement of faith says that God is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, full stop. But beyond that, how he did it, when he did it, what mechanisms he used, we say fall into that interdenominational area,
where it's okay for different faculty and different students and different families to have a variety of viewpoints. So we strive to be a big tent for all sorts of different Christian perspectives on creation and origins. Now, when I did this survey, faculty responded not only on their personal views, but how they address this in the classroom and why they think it's important. And it was interesting to note that the faculty, by and large, thought that science and faith were completely compatible. You could be a good Christian and be a fabulous scientist, and that science, but they also agreed that studying science at a secular university could often be challenging to students' faith, and that we should be preparing students for that challenge. But when you ask them, do you talk about these issues in their classroom, the vast majority of teachers didn't, which is not surprising because, you know, an English class might not have a lot of space for evolution. But even amongst the science teachers, most did not address these topics. And what we found were that the teachers that did address this in the classroom were, by and large, of the young earth creation perspective. Whether or not they were science teachers or not, they were incorporating it into their French curriculum and into their history curriculum. Whereas teachers of other perspectives preferred to not share those views in the classroom. And this created some problems. Well, the question for me in this context is, I am a physics and astronomy teacher. I don't teach biology or evolution, but I still think that the science and faith conversation is very important. And so how do I address this in my science classroom? And addressing things like the students' lack of understanding about the nature of science and faith, that they are unaware that there's a range of Christian perspectives, and that they have some lack in the actual technical understanding of the scientific content. So the way that I do this, first in my physics classroom, our first unit is on the nature of science, and as I'm sure they've had a million times, we do start out with the scientific method. We start out with the very traditional kind of question, hypothesis, experiment that they've heard every year since third grade. But then we expand to this diagram that I got from UC Berkeley's Understanding Science program. And it's probably, the font is too small for you to read, but it shows a much more dynamic, iterative, and collaborative approach to scientific research that I think is a lot more representative of how scientific research happens than this simplistic, ask a question, write a hypothesis, do an experiment. And then we discuss the nature of science. The five key characteristics we discuss are that it's limited to the physical and natural world. It's based on experimentation and observation. It's a path to understanding. It's not a body of knowledge solely. That it's reliable in its conclusions, but it's also tentative, as there's always more data yet to be collected. And that is a community endeavor. And this is important. We have a conversation at this point about how science is fundamentally non-theistic. Science is not an advocate for the existence of God or promoting an atheistic viewpoint. It's limited to the physical natural world, and so in and of itself, science does not have a stake in this game. And then we go on through our traditional physics curriculum, Newton's laws, kinematics, all that good stuff. And at the end of first semester, we take a week out of the class to do something completely different. We watch the movie Contact. If you have not seen Contact, it's a wonderful movie based on a book written by Carl Sagan. And the basic premise is that Jodie Foster there is a radio astronomer. She receives a signal from aliens, and she has to figure out both scientifically and politically, and also religiously, how to make sense of this signal and how to respond to it. And in the process of this, she's interacting with Matthew McConaughey's character, who's a theologian, who has some interesting views about, he's a believer in God, and challenges her on why she holds some strong atheistic views and how she thinks the role of faith in general is in relationship to her science. It's a great movie, you should watch it, it's fabulous. But we watch this in class, and then the students are presented with a series of prompts that are related to the relationship between science and faith, and then they get to respond to their chosen prompt in any medium, in any format they want. Essays are very common, but I also get lots of pieces of art. I've gotten poetry, short stories, screenplays. I had one interpretive dance. It wasn't quite as communicative as I wanted it to be, but they do a lot of creative stuff. And it's wonderful because they get to students that might not be the math superstars and really comfortable in the quantitative side of physics get a chance to engage in the content in a way that they feel comfortable. And they often see students who were hanging in the back of the class during our more traditional content, really getting excited. So I wanted to share with you first these are the three prompts, and then I'm going to share with you a few student responses because I think it's helpful to see kind of what these students are processing through this project. So the first prompt that they can respond to is, can science tell us the meaning of life, what the meaning of life is, or provide purpose for life? The second question essentially says, when considering whether or not God exists, are you someone that feels like you need empirical evidence and rational proof for his existence? So that aligns with the scientist's character's perspective. Or would a personal experience, a supernatural experience of some sort, be sufficient evidence for you for God's existence along the lines of the character Palmer's perspective? And then they reflect on, do you find that science supports your perspective or challenges it? And lastly, Matthew McConaughey's character says at the end of the movie, he says that science and religion ultimately share the same goal of the pursuit of truth. And so they have a chance to respond to whether or not they agree with that. So these are a few responses that I've gotten over the years from students. You'll see some pictures and some quotes. The pictures and quotes don't go together, but it gives you a sense of some of the different responses I get. So this one says, science and religion don't have to be exclusive bases for belief. It's possible to base your belief in faith, but still accept the proven facts of science. Another says, science and religion should not be bent on dominating one another, but using one another to answer questions each cannot answer. Science and religion are seeking the same thing. They both strive to discover truth, whether it is spiritual truth or scientific truth. They're only approaching truth from different angles. This student says, I believe that science actually leads us towards God. Rather than say science disproves of a superior being and savior, I think the details and patterns of the world of science simply reveal the presence of God even more. While I strongly believe that religion and science are compatible and can work great together, I also believe the two challenge each other. Challenging each other may just be part of the mutual relationship process of the two, but I most definitely have experienced many times where science has challenged my faith, and I'm aware that religion is constantly challenging science. And as a source of inspiration, truth, and hope, science and religion should be seen as complements to human fulfillment, not adversaries of intellectual thought. And lastly, science is the direct study and pursuit of God's creation, which is truth. Beyond science is man's interpretation of what he has found, which is where the line between truth and theory is clouded. Science is the study of nature, which was created by God, who is truth. This means that science is indeed one way to pursue truth. God reveals truth to us with the Bible, which we can read and study to better understand truth. Our interpretation can also become somewhat of a problem when reading the Bible, because when scripture is taken out of context, it can seem completely contradictory to what we know of God. But it actually makes sense when it is in context. Science studies God's work of nature on earth and throughout the universe, while religion studies God's craftsmanship of the Bible and its teaching. Now, like I said, these are juniors and seniors in high school. And what these quotes say to me is that these kids are much better prepared for college than I was in relating some of these, this relationship between science and faith and navigating their personal faith. I also teach an astronomy class. This astronomy class is it's co-registered as a college-level class through a local junior college. And so the majority of the class is taught exactly like any Astro 101 class is. We start with an overview of the history of astronomy, electromagnetic spectrum and optics, celestial mechanics and planetary science in the first semester, and then second semester we move through stellar astronomy and galactic astronomy. Our school is also lucky enough to have an observatory on campus where our students do some observational astronomy research using CCD cameras and simple spectroscopes. But the last unit of the class is cosmology. And during this unit, it looks completely different than what you would get in a typical astronomy classroom. In this one, we slow way down and we weave back and forth between a scientific exploration of the theory of Big Bang cosmology and the development of those ideas, and topics such as the nature of science and the nature of faith, worldviews. We discuss different biblical interpretations of Genesis, the role of hermeneutics, and the variety of Christian viewpoints on origins. So we're kind of bouncing back and forth between the faith side and the science side of this process. And over the course of that, the students, this takes about a month for us to get through, and during that time, the students are writing a series of journals that respond to what we're learning each day in class. So the first one is their initial viewpoint. Before they hear any of the cosmology scientific background or anything in this unit, I just ask them to write, what do you think about the Big Bang? What do you think scientifically it is? What do you think the evidence is for it? What have you heard from pastors and teachers and parents and friends about what Christians are supposed to think about it? So that's kind of a baseline. Where are you at coming into this unit about cosmology? We present a variety of different viewpoints, both theistic and non-theistic. We talk about materialism and deism and all sorts of different things, and so they reflect on which of those worldviews most fits their personal perspective. We talk about the history of cosmology and go through the story of Einstein's general theory of relativity and his inclination towards steady state. We talk about George Lemaître and Hubble and Fred Hoyle and some of the interesting religious influences that took place in that, and they reflect on how scientists, how a scientist's worldview ought to influence or not influence how they do science and interpret data. We talk about the nature of science and the nature of faith, their similarities and differences. We look at Ian Barber's models on the relationship between science and faith, and so they look at those and pick which one they think is most appropriate. We talk about different interpretations of Genesis and views on material origins, and then we finish with a discussion of fine-tuning and different intellectual responses to fine-tuning, including the anthropic principle theory of everything in multiverse. And at the end of all of that, they write a final reflection journal that essentially answers the question, where are you now? What new things have you learned? Have your viewpoints changed on any of these topics? If so, what changed your mind? If not, why not? Not that change is the goal necessarily, but just to have them reflect on where they are at the end of this process. So I want to spend a little bit of time sharing some of those responses. This student says, looking back on this unit, and like I said, this is a Christian high school, so they're taking Bible classes every year. He said, looking back on this unit, I learned more about my faith than I have in any previous Bible class. This unit showed me how God and science aren't just able to work in one, but actually work together great. God wants us to explore and learn about the universe he put us in. What seemed to be a myth at first, Christian scientists quickly became a reality this semester. Another says, before going into astronomy, this astronomy lesson about worldviews and religion, I believed that there is no way for Christianity and science to fit together. However, during these chapters, I realized that science does not prove religion wrong, nor does religion prove science wrong. They can both fit together and explain how the world came to be without the countering beliefs. My views definitely changed in a way of being more accepting to science. I am incredibly thankful to have had a unit to really put our thoughts, views, and beliefs into perspective before we graduate and are released into the real world. This unit has, without a doubt, helped me understand my own faith better, as well as views from other people in my life. My thoughts, and a different student, my thoughts and views have definitely changed. For example, I previously thought that the Big Bang was against Christianity. However, I figured out that this theory is in fact in support of creation. I also used to believe that pursuing a career in science would be difficult since most well-known scientists are atheists. My teachers and the textbook have shown me that one can have a love for science and pursue Christ at the same time. After all, scientific discoveries just exemplify how beautiful God's mind and his creation truly are. The change of thoughts and views occurred because I was exposed to new concepts and obtained a great amount of information. Another reason why my way of thinking has changed is because I came into this with an open mind. Therefore, I was able to reflect on my newly obtained knowledge and have the chance to either accept or reject such views. And then lastly, throughout the course of this unit, my personal beliefs and views have been challenged and I have become more sure of my faith. Hearing different perspectives and worldviews has been challenging. It has pushed me out of my comfort zone by making me consider other perspectives besides my own. However, learning more and asking questions has made me stronger in my faith. Unit 6 has been the most engaging, interesting, and thought-provoking chapter, but it contains the most challenging material because it forces us to look at different worldviews. Learning about beliefs that are entirely possible felt scary and uncomfortable, but I now know that questioning your faith is healthy and should be encouraged. So often we say doubting is bad and Christians shame those who doubt their faith. But doubting results in asking questions, and asking questions results in gaining more knowledge about God in our world. I've been teaching this class for 5 years now, and I have a couple takeaways that I wanted to share with you about how to address science and faith in the Christian school context, and hopefully you can find relevance in whatever positions you find yourself in.
First of all, I think science and faith can absolutely be addressed in the physical sciences, not just in biology classrooms. Of course, evolution is the hot button topic, and it's the one that is at the core of most of these issues. But I think we can absolutely address fundamental questions of the nature of science and faith in physics classes, and that should perhaps happen before we get into those evolution discussions, because so much of the conflict in that origins discussions is about a misunderstanding of the nature of science itself. And I have found that astronomy in general and cosmology in particular is a really great avenue for discussing this, because it raises questions of your place in the universe and origins, but in a way that's less charged than evolution is. Secondly, I have found that high school students are craving to have the opportunity to ask and wrestle with hard questions about these topics, and they're completely capable of deep engagement with them if they're given the proper scaffolding. The important things to remember is that you need to create a safe place for asking these questions and having these discussions. It's of note that I do this the very last unit of the academic year. So I have a whole year of building safety and trust and respect, and they know that in my classroom they can ask questions that may or may not be, you know, deemed appropriate in other contexts. And also to leave plenty of room for personal reflection. Third, addressing science and faith in high school, I think, equips students better to navigate a variety of spiritual questions in college. Science is far from the only spiritually challenging thing that they will address in college, but if they've had the experience of wrestling through something like this in an intellectually rigorous and spiritually thoughtful way, they'll have the tools to implement that when they come up against any number of spiritual challenges in their future. Fourth, I think modeling humble and respectful discussion around different views on science and faith within the Christian community is a really valuable model to set for how we should be discussing any number of difficult, contentious topics within the church. Science is far from the only issue that we would benefit from having thoughtful, respectful, open-minded discourse on, and so this can be a great way to model that. And lastly, on a much more practical note, if you are in the position of doing this, I strongly encourage you to communicate preemptively and transparently with parents about what you will be doing, what you're teaching, why you're teaching it, and invite them into the process. I have taught this for 5 years and have not had any kind of parents issue with it. I get emails every year thanking me for engaging with this topic. Because I bring them into the conversation at the beginning of the unit, let them know what we're going to be doing, how we're going to be doing that, give them access to all of the resources, and I think that's a huge, adds a lot of value and removes a lot of the tension from the process. So thank you for listening, and I encourage you to have these discussions with your students if you can.
So you've been doing this 5 years, and there's a lot of other science teachers in your high school. What's been the response from the other faculty, colleagues? Anybody else pick them up?
Yes.
Ball?
Yeah, so this, I have not done this in isolation just in my classroom, but I didn't have time to get into sort of the school-wide context for this. 3 years ago, I did this survey of the entire school faculty and was able to share those results with the entire faculty and the administration. And the faculty was shocked to find that there were other people who had different views on them. Everybody seemed to think that their view was the majority view, and turns out that about a third of the faculty had young Earth perspectives, about a third were comfortable with evolution, and about a third didn't really know what their view was. And it prompted a great conversation amongst the faculty as a whole about the variety of Christian viewpoints on this topic, and the fact that if we know that there are other faculty, Christian faculty, who we see as Christian brothers and sisters who believe different things, maybe we need to be careful about how we discuss that topic with our students. When I first came to the school, one of the freshman biology teachers had posters on the back of her wall, covering her wall, from Answers in Genesis. I remember one said, 10 reasons to doubt Darwinism, and I had a conversation with her about how she approached this unit. And her response was, oh, well, you know, they're freshmen, they don't really care about this stuff, but my goal is to just give them answers to these hard questions before they have a chance to ask them, so they don't have to deal with the complexity. And as an educator, I was like, oh, I'm not sure that's really the approach I want to take. But after doing that survey and hearing the results, I noticed that those posters came down, and the tenor of her conversation in her classroom changed. She and I never had a conversation with that. There was no top-down
rules given by the administration, but I think her seeing that there were Christians, that she, dear friends of hers, that had a different view on origins than her, caused her to soften the way that she discussed the topic in her classroom. Our science and Bible departments have had many department meetings talking about these issues. The Bible department has actually reshaped their Bible standards so that students from K through 12, they are gradually, as they learn about the creation story, at age-appropriate levels, they're starting to introduce the idea of historical context of ancient texts and the other civilizations in the area and their creation narratives and how that might influence what the Israelites would write down. So that by senior year, all seniors take a Bible class on the philosophy of religion where they have a very direct discussion of these different viewpoints within Christianity on origins. So my class is not the only one getting into this. There are absolutely faculty that are uncomfortable with this process, but the administration and the majority of the faculty have been supportive of the process.
Did you tell everybody your involvement with ASA over the years? What was your first
moment here? I think this is my seventh ASA conference. I came to ASA in 2012 because I was working with Jennifer Wiseman at the AAAS on the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion. I double majored in astronomy and religion and stumbled into Jennifer working at NASA on education, and before I knew it, I was her intern running her Facebook page because as a 22-year-old in 2011, that was your most marketable skill. And from there, I fell in love with the science and religion dialogue. Over the years, I've been the student and early career rep on the ASA Executive Council, helped Lynn start the Christian Women in Science program, and I'm currently co-chairing the Northern California ASA chapter with Matt Solt.
There you go. So, any comments on your ASA experiences?
Well, you're just fishing, aren't you, Lynn?
ASA has been an incredible source of personal and professional support and mentorship and encouragement for me. My husband says that when I come to ASA, I'm going to nerd summer camp because it's all of these people who love science and faith and the interaction between them as much as I do. And I feel like this is the place that I'm with my people, that when I'm at church, it's a little bit, the Bay Area obviously full of lots of science and technology people, but there's still a sense that you're a little bit of an outsider as a scientist in the Christian community. And in the scientific community, there's always the sense of being an outsider as a Christian. And so to be in a place that's full of scientists and Christians, both peers, but also people in a position to mentor and support me has been wonderful. And it's been a real encouragement to me in my very short career thus far.
I think this is a tough one. I'm afraid my husband and I are more on the line of prophets than we are of peacemakers. I guess certainly I am. I'm more like bulls in the china shop. Across the street from our church is a Christian school, K-12. Very different from yours. There's one science teacher. The poor man has to teach everything, including God. We have been told pretty much to our faces by the principal that they don't do anything scientific, like the world or touch the word evolution or what would you advise that we advise Justin, who's in our small
The thing that I think was most beneficial for our school, like you mentioned, very different context than yours, but I think the general premise holds. The thing that was most helpful in kind of smoothing the path forward to this discussion was starting out the discussion with the whole faculty, not from a sense of I'm a scientist and I demand good science and all of you people are wrong, but that survey that showed the variety of viewpoints on origins within the faculty, that there was this diversity within viewpoints, but that everyone's goal was that our Christian students would be able to go to Christian or secular colleges and be given the intellectual and spiritual and scientific resources to be excellent students and to navigate the spiritual conversations that they would enter into and to maintain a deep faith. We all shared that viewpoint, even if we had different views on how God created. We all wanted our students to be prepared to continue on in both faith and science together. And so I think recognizing that shared goal was really, really important before we got into any of the science content or the theology content, to have that shared goal. And from there, it was a lot easier to have conversations about where we differed because we had that foundation of fundamentally where we were the same.
All right, well, let's thank Faith for her talking.